Hello and welcome back to the Villa podcast. After, you know, this is where I'm upset that Dan can't join me, because after what is probably the most incredible, what, 90 minutes, 120 minutes, 140 minutes that I've sat here on the Villa podcast and spoken to you guys after this. 2 hours plus of pure and utter chaos has placed Aston Villa Football Club into the semi-finals of the UEFA Europa Conference League. We are the last English club remaining in European competition this season, and whilst that is a huge honour to bestow upon the Aston Villa Football Club, our first season back in Europe for 10 years, 15 years, what it does mean is that it has significantly hampered the coefficient. It means that chances are England will not be rewarded with a fifth UEFA Champions League qualification spot this season. It is back to the traditional fight for top four. But let me just say to you on that, who the hell cares? Who the hell cares? Aston Villa are into the semi-finals of this competition. And for me, that is all that matters. At the time that I'm coming to you at, we've defeated Lille, Fenerbahce and Olympiacos are still tied at 3-3. As the podcast is recording, I'll update you guys on how that is coming on. By the time that you listen to this, inevitably you will know whether we are set for Istanbul or Athens. Back-to-back games in Athens should we then reach the final from Olympiacos to whoever we shall meet on the other side of the bracket. That looks like it's going to be a toss-up between Club Brugge and Fiorentina, who needed extra time to get past Victoria Pilsen after a 0-0 draw away from home. So a lot to digest, a lot to go through. But I think we should begin with the first 90 minutes of this game, particularly the first 45, which were a complete and utter disaster for Aston Villa. It really, really was. We kicked off and 15 minutes later, Yusuf Yazicki gets a goal for Lille and begins to orchestrate what is the worst possible beginning to this game for Aston Villa. The most important thing was, I think we went into this game really knowing that we, more likely than not, we weren't going to keep a clean sheet, despite the masterclass that we put on defensively at the Emirates. We can't ignore that the fact that in that game against Arsenal, we really did ride our luck. Emi Martinez had to make a couple of fantastic saves. Arsenal hit the side netting, particularly on a couple of occasions. We know that we were more like quite lucky to get out of that game with a clean sheet. And generally, Villa haven't been great value for a clean sheet throughout the season. And I think given Lille's incredible home record, they were unbeaten at home since a game against Rennes in September. They only lost one of, I think, their last 32 home games. They're an incredible side. I think having gone to that stadium, having experienced that atmosphere, you can see why the Stade Pierre-Mauroy is such a difficult place for teams to go. You can see why it was so crucial in guiding Lille to their Ligue 1 victory, that league title just a few seasons ago. What an incredible stadium. What an incredible atmosphere it generated. We've been so lucky to kind of visit and be a part of some incredible atmospheres throughout this Europa Conference League One. And I have a feeling that that Lille atmosphere might have just topped the lot. It was a very tough place to go. And so to concede just 15 minutes into the game really, really was bad news for Villa. And we were truly, truly up against it. And to be honest, not until we got the goal back through Matty Cash at 80 plus minutes did it ever really felt that we had a chance in this game. 67 minutes into the game, Benjamin Andre with a fantastic header to put Lille 2-0 up in the tie, 3-2 up on aggregate, and bells were really ringing at that point. Villa really, really struggled, and it was only after about the 75th minute did we really start to apply the pressure. Before that, we could not get out. Passes were going astray. I can't even say that Villa looked leggy. We just looked terrible. It was a horrendous performance for Villa. We could not connect the dots. The gaps between midfield and attack were huge. Ollie Watkins could not get a look in. It was one of the worst performances I think we've seen from Villa this season. And that was until Benjamin Chevalier fumbles across the Villa put in from the left-hand side. It's held up. Ollie Watkins, I think, puts the ball into the box. It's deflected. It goes up in the air. John Duran challenges for it. It's then spilled after Chevalier and some contact with the defender. It falls. It rolls out to the edge of the area. Falls to Matty Cash, who via a deflection rifles it into the back of the net from 20 yards or so. And Villa, just like that, are back in the game. Despite all of the odds, it's 2-1 and we're going to extra time. And so it remained. I think it is important to mention that Villa, we should consider ourselves quite fortunate that we got there. There's a corner at 90 plus that Lille heads straight into the arms of Emi Martinez. And there's also a penalty shout on Matty Cash for a handball that if I were sat on the other side of the English Channel tonight, I think I would feel slightly aggrieved by. But the only thing to mention from that 90 minutes is the yellow card that's shown to Emi Martinez on 37 minutes for time wasting. So he goes down, saves, I think he's taking a goal kick and saves the ball, takes a goal kick and is booked for time wasting very early on in the game when Villa are 1-0 down, which I think a lot of people would have found confusing because it really wasn't a time in the game for Villa to be time wasting. We then go through extra time into the penalty shootout and it goes as such. So yeah, Nabil Bentaleb takes the first penalty for Lille after Yuri Tielemans tucks his away for Aston Villa, and it's saved by Emi Martinez. After that, Emi's antics that we saw in the World Cup truly began. He begins silencing the Lille crowd, putting his finger to his lips and making sure that he is the man in the arena. He is the centre of attention. And after a few discrepancies, a little bit of a talking to with the referee, he receives a second yellow card in the game. And this is where it gets interesting. Despite receiving two yellow cards in the same game, Emi Martinez was not sent off for Aston Villa and went on to play a crucial role in the penalty shootout. And here's the reason why. So IFAB, the International Football Association Board, football's lawmakers, stated that under law 10.3, that warnings and cautions issued to players and team officials during the match are not carried forward into penalties or penalty shootouts. And it adds that a player who was shown a red card in the game cannot take part. Players, substituted players and team officials can get a red or yellow card during penalties. I can't remember a time in my life that I have ever seen a player being sent off during a penalty shootout. I did fear that Emi Martinez was going to, for a second, set quite an incredible precedent. But that's the law. That's why Emi Martinez stayed on the pitch. And then, yes, from there, Villa went on to win. Ollie Watkins scores. Jonathan David puts his penalty straight down the middle. Matty Cash then steps up and scores his penalty. And I think he deserves an incredible shout out, Matty Cash, because he's been kind of frozen out of the side. Ezri Konsa has completely locked down that right back spot. Matty Cash comes back into a crucial quarterfinal second leg game. Not only does he play the whole 120 minutes, but he scores the equalizing goal that even allows Villa to get to this point in the knockout stages. Then tucks his penalty away to make it 3-1. Angel Gomez then scores for Lille to make it 3-2. Douglas Luiz then puts an incredibly calm and composed penalty past Chevalier before Benjamin André steps up and sees a second penalty for Lille in the shootout, saved by Emi Martinez. And that is that. Cue the celebrations. Claret and blue, pandemonium. Aston Villa book their place in the semi-finals of the UEFA Conference League. Man, oh man, what a story. I think it's fair to say that we do have the best, that we do have the best goalkeeper in the world in penalty shootout situations. The way that he is able to not just shrug off even an ounce of pressure, but almost suck all of the pressure in the stadium unto himself, make him the main event, take all of the weight off his teammates is absolutely incredible. He was getting booed and whistled and jeered all throughout the game as a result of his antics for Argentina against France in that incredible World Cup final shootout where he himself really put himself on the world stage. And so that whole, he is the antagonist in that situation. He is absolutely remarkable. We do have, I think, the best goalkeeper in the world in those situations. And so it proved. It wasn't without penalty. We will be without Emi Martinez for the first leg of the semi-finals. But I think it's fair to say that, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. It looks like Robin Olsen will have to be in goal for that game. We're 116 minutes into that Conference League semi-final between Fenerbahce and Olympiacos. Still no winning goal there, so it looks like that can go to penalties, which would just be remarkable if both of the quarterfinals on this side of the draw end up going to a penalty shootout. So it will be remain to be seen who we draw there. And unfortunately, guys, you won't be finding it out through me, because I think that's about time to wrap up this podcast. I'm well aware that, yeah, a lot of solo rambling has gone into this one. Dan was in Lille tonight, so I dread to think where exactly he is, what he's up to at the moment. Dan, mate, I'm sure you'll get around to listening to this in due course, so I hope you've had an absolutely incredible time, mate. I'm very excited to get back to Villa Park, to Premier League, to routine. Well, and not too much of a routine, it's a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday, but that's kind of by the by at the moment. Villa, yes, back to business in the Premier League this Sunday. Emi Martinez himself has said we'll need all of the fans behind the team for that game to get them through what will be an incredibly tough fixture with some very tired legs. But yeah, let's cross that bridge when we come to it, guys. Thank you very much for listening. There's a link in the description which will take you through to all of our socials, all of the other platforms where you can get both the podcast in audio format and some exclusive video goodies from the best Villa podcast in the sphere. Thank you very much for watching, and perhaps more so than ever before, up the Villa.